Hey, it's Bree Bagwell from Only Vans, and 2024 is coming to a close, and we wanted to remind you what's happened this year on the Bluegrass Situation Podcast Network. Tom Power spoke to the great Allison Krauss on season 2 of Toy Heart, a podcast about bluegrass.
Can you define what you're looking for when you find a song? Is there anything more than a gut feeling?
It like instantaneously brings pictures. Instantly, it's a movie.
Portland songwriters Anna Tivel and Jeffrey Martin drop by Basic Folk.
I like the way you talk.
I like the way you talk.
Hey, thanks. It's funny to me that you're in the backyard right now and I'm in the house.
And finally, on my podcast, Only Vans, we welcomed another beloved musical couple, Cody and Shannon Canada.
I wasn't a metalhead. I mean, I listened to a little bit, but I had to like sneak it because my mom thought I was going to worship Satan and drink goat blood or some shit.
Parents still think that, by the way.
Thanks for a great year. And listen to all these and more on the BGS Podcast Network or wherever you get your shows.
Hey, it's Cindy and Lizzie here. We've got some exciting things to share with you today. First, we're going to tell you why your support means everything to Basic Folk. And second, we're going to give you the scoop on our brand new logo launching in January. But first, let's get right into it. Our fundraiser is down to the wire. So Lizzie, take it away.
Thanks, Cindy. We've already had some amazing support from listeners like Brandy in Minnesota, Kim in Ohio, Angela in Michigan, and Andrea in Missouri. Huge thanks to all of you. Because of their generosity, we are now just 6 donations away from hitting our goal.
So why support Basic Folk? Okay, here's the deal. We dive deep with our honest conversations with folk musicians, creating a platform that celebrates under-the-radar roots artists. We go beyond the music to explore their stories, struggles, and inspirations. This is a one-of-a-kind space that doesn't exist anywhere else, and none of it happens without your support.
That's right. And your financial support keeps Basic Folk alive. From covering website fees to paying our support staff and production costs, every dollar helps. We are rich in spirit, but we rely on our incredible listeners to keep us rich in resources as well, and keeping our mission moving forward. Right now, we just need 6 more monthly donors to reach our goal. Will you be one of them?
Okay, here is the best part. With our new logo launching in January, all new monthly donors will be the first to rock our exclusive Basic Folk beanie. And these aren't just any beanies. They're actually handmade by my mom, and they're just like little works of art. How adorable is that?
The cutest. The beanies are the cutest. Plus, they're a great way to show your support for Basic Folk. Head to basicfolk.com/donate and sign up as a monthly donor today. It's just $5 a month, and it helps us continue bringing you the stories and music you love. That's basicfolk.com/donate. Or just check out the link in our show note.
Your support means the world to us. Thank you for helping us dignify folk musicians and give them a platform to share their art. Let's hit that goal together. Donate now at basicfolk.com/donate.
Bye.
That was beautiful. Hi, and welcome to Basic Folk, where we have honest conversations with folk musicians on the Bluegrass Situation with your best friends, Cindy Howes and Lizzie No. Hi, Lizzie.
What's up, Cindy?
This is a very special episode of Basic Folk. We're going to recap the year, something that we have never done before, so who knows how it's going to go.
Can you believe that 2024 is drawing to a close?
Ugh. I feel like we lived 100 years during this year.
100 years.
The craziest thing about this year, and I've thought about it several times as we wrap things up, is that Lizzie released an epic career-defining record in January of 2024, and you've been touring all over the place, and I can't believe you're actually in your home in Nashville right now.
Thank you for bringing this up, because this has been the wildest year of my life. And you've been along for much of the ride. You, Cindy, and you are Basic Folk listeners. Like, I feel like I've been counting down to this year for a long time in my career. Like, what's going to happen when I release this album? Like, imagining what it's going to be like. And now I know what it's like.
Yeah.
For better and for worse, I know.
I've got to hand it to you, Lizzie. Not only
have you been touring and going all over the world and promoting this record, but you've also been an active participant in this podcast, and I really don't want to do it without you. So I really appreciate you keeping it going. You're a really wonderful podcast partner.
Cindy, there's no one I would want to do a podcast with. That's not you. You're the only one.
Oh, thank you. Okay, so in our recap episode, here's how it's going to go. We're going to play some clips from episodes from 2024, including our top episode of the year, as well as my personal favorite episode and Lizzie's personal favorite episode. We're going to do some Basic Folk check-ins with some good friends of ours, Jontavious Willis and Woo! Rose Cousins.
Woo!
So let's get to it. I'm pretty pumped that our top episode for 2024 was the conversation between Anna Tivel and Jeffrey Martin. This is the second time that they've appeared on the podcast together, and I am assure you it will not be the last, because the Basic Folk fam really seems to love these two when they come on. They just, their vibe and their wisdom that they offer is immeasurable.
I was going to say that the top thing for me, like the top takeaway from their episode, was the vibe. Like, yes, they talk about specific things going on in their careers and artistic challenges that they're working through. But the most like memorable part of their conversation for me was just that feeling that you're like sitting in their living room with them, kind of just like, oh, I'm part of the conversation about how to artists are choosing to live their lives and relate to their work. It was beautiful.
This is a very like tumultuous political year.
I know.
And there was a lot of conversation about how there's so much currency and outrage and how Jeffrey and Anna are seeing within their communities of friends, people just trying to live a good small life. And Jeffrey said, let the kings kill each other. And I think we'll hear that in the clip that we're going to share.
Hot take, Jeffrey Martin. I loved it.
This is a really great conversation. We're just going to hear about 10 to 12 minutes of it. If you enjoyed what you hear, go back and listen. Also, we're fundraising right now on Basic Folk. So if you are enjoying what you're hearing, you can always make a contribution. BasicFolk.com, or the link is in the show notes. Okay, here it is. Anna Tivel and Jeffrey Martin on Basic Folk.
All right. Neighbors, I've heard you joke a little bit that you wonder what the neighbors think that you are both up to, being musicians and not having like a 9-to-5 commuting job.
Yeah.
Jeffrey, you've said, I think my neighbors are perpetually curious what I'm up to, strange sounds all hours of the night. A few know what I do, others I leave to wonder.
Yeah.
So for me, I love, love, love meeting my neighbors, making friends, creating a connection. Of course, there's like people that you're like, okay, we're not gonna be friends. But I just love knowing some people that live close by. How about you? Like, how do you each feel about and connect with neighbors?
I'm just now figuring that out. I think Anna's always been much better at saying hi to people. But I'm like slowly putting a toe in that water and realizing that it feels pretty good. It feels good. It feels good. Like there's a coffee shop down the road now that I've tried to like be a regular there enough that they know my drink and like I can say hi to them, and stuff like that feels good to me. And I didn't always try and do that, but I definitely have a lot of work to do with neighbors. Like the other day we were walking the dogs in this new couple had just moved into the neighborhood, like four houses down from us. They were like moving as we walked by, and I went against every cell in my body and said hello to them. And then it felt really good that like I got that out of the way and didn't have to like feel anxious about it for the next 5 years or something, you know?
Right, because there's an expiration date.
Yeah, yeah.
On making friends with the neighbors.
Yeah.
We have really great neighbor with this little, we live kind of in Southeast Portland, and we have amazing kind of smorgasbord of people who have been here for a long, long time and people who just moved in. And it's just like great people land. I think everybody's like a little eccentric, I feel, as like we fit right in. And
yeah, I kind of get this. I kind of suspect there's maybe a lot of people in our neighborhood that don't have conventional 9-to-5s, because we all see each other in our sweatpants at 2 in the afternoon every 4 months or something.
Yeah. Have any of your neighbors made it into your songs?
Yes. Too many times.
At least once I've made it into Anna's songs, for sure. Yeah.
I definitely had this thought the other day that, like, the four houses on every side of our house, there's at least a song about each of those people. Yeah. And had this thought of like, oh man, I'm so glad they don't come to shows or listen to folk music.
Do you think they would be able to know? Did you name any of them? Or like, are there any giveaways in the song? No,
well, yeah, I don't think so. Yeah. I'm subtle, I think.
That's funny. Okay. Staying positive. It is tough to stay positive in this financial, environmental, and political climate. It seems like you have to actively work to stay positive. I mean, that's true for anyone. How have you been approaching and relating to positivity lately?
It's such a funny question in this moment, because for the last like 3 days, Anna and I have been talking about how we're just both in like total shit moods and we cannot find positivity to save our lives. I don't know. I feel like there are things I can do. Like I know that I can stay away from my phone and the computer intentionally, and I can like spend my time on things that make me feel more whole in the world and stuff, and that always helps. But also, like last night, I was trying to write my monthly newsletter that I've failed to do monthly ever, and I was like writing about how I was listening to that old Josh Ritter song called Overnight. I don't know if you know that song, Cindy, but it's like,
what record is it on? I don't think I know it.
It's the Historical Conquests record, I think it's somewhere on there. And
I don't know it by name.
It's just this like really simple song about like things that happen overnight. Like you go to bed and then you wake up and there's been some like tectonic shift in you, and you can't account for it, or in your partner or something. And just, I don't know. I've been thinking a lot about that. Like, I don't know what controls that piece, because it feels like I can go to bed happy and wake up all twisted, or vice versa. And I wish it was more consistent, but I don't know. Anna, do you know the answer?
I don't know the answer, but I feel like I kind of watch both of us like forgetting and then remembering again how much it helps to just sort of like fill up on things that move us. But it's like really hard to keep a hold of it, or just even speed to slow down and like read for a long time, or watch something really slow and beautiful. And I feel like those things, everything can be really easily fractured. And
yeah, but what do you do when you're reading the thing or trying to watch the like slow good thing, but you hate it because you don't? Like, you're in such a bad mood that you don't even want to try and feel better.
Well, then I hate myself.
That's the hard thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, all right.
The negativity is a snake that eats its own head.
Its own head, wow. What, Cindy, what do you do?
Well, I was just thinking about this. I was having like, okay, so it's summertime and I love ice cream. Like soft serve ice cream. And I also like, you know, want to be like a healthy person and not eat too much. But, you know, and, you know, some may call it disordered eating, but I was like driving anyways. And I was like, oh, I should get some ice cream. And I was like, no, I cannot get ice cream. And then I pulled into the DQ and I got a freaking blizzard and I was eating it. I was like, I've never been happier in my life. And we keep, Hootie and I keep stopping by like the old kind of like dairy marts that are like, they're like the mom and pop DQs everywhere and just like getting soft serve. And I'll just like get the waffle cone. I'll just get it.
So that's the key to happiness.
Yeah. And I've been really like branching out on the soft serve flavors because in Maine, I found a couple places that had like mint soft serve and like butterscotch and coffee soft serve. And it's like, so like, it's great. I've thought about it earlier today. Like, I can't wait to.
I mean, Anna's like fully obsessed
with soft serve.
Yeah.
Oh, Anna.
Deeply, like, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I have a similar feeling. I've been trying to eat as much ice cream as possible and also swim in the river, whether it has an algae warning or not. As much as possible.
Bacteria be damned.
Yeah.
And who's to say it's not the good bacteria?
Yeah. A little tail isn't going to bother anybody.
Right. Yeah. I don't know. I have the next question I had was asking you about like your nervous system and like there's been so much stress this year and I've like, you know, in our personal lives and in the world, like I need to go to PT because there's something going on the right side of my back. It's like seizing up and it's so painful. And I'm wondering like, as musicians who observe and absorb so much of the world, like what is your physical state right now, especially like being on tour, being in a car, scrunching yourself down to record in your weird little spaces? Like how are your bodies dealing with this stress?
Well, you're really hitting all the marks here, Cindy, your questions. I just, like a week and a half ago, I threw out my back for the first like serious time in my entire life, I feel like. And
wow.
It was such a, like a moment of like, oh man, like this is real. And
that was the first time it ever happened?
Like that badly. Yeah, for sure. It was like, I couldn't move. But, but ever since that happened, I've been thinking a lot about what you just said. Like, I feel like the general tone that I get from talking to friends and stuff is this kind of baseline level of stress and anxiety that's just like about what's happening or about what could happen or whatever. It's kind of the first time I've thought about how like stuff on that scale can affect you in a body level, and it's kind of wild to think about, but I definitely feel like that's true. Like I feel just like a tightness, and it's hard to like take a full breath and fully just like relax out of the moment and stuff. Yeah. Yeah. Especially lately.
Yeah. It seems like there's so many ways that we like don't give credit to our bodies for holding things, you know, or it feels woo woo or something, but it's so real, like a stomach ache from just feeling like really sad or really anxious. And I feel like we've been having a lot of conversations lately about like letting that be true. And also on stage, like the way that you can, like all the wild ways you can use your mind to open your throat, like use your mind to put your shoulders down, or like the way it feels to do a show when you feel really free and really generous and really like present. And then the way it feels when you're sort of like clenching your butt and waiting for the you're like kind of waiting for the show to be over so you can relax. And then you feel so sad after the show that you weren't there while it was happening. And that's like all a mind adventure.
Do you catch yourself when you're on stage? You're like, oh, my butt's too tight.
All the time.
I do. Well, it's more in my like shoulders and back. Like sometimes I can get in these weird positions with a guitar on where I realize that I'm like doing the worst thing possible for my posture and everything, and Like, it really does affect your throat and your voice.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Strange.
Hi, Dontavious. How are you?
Hey, how you doing? I'm doing well. Good to see you again.
Good to see you, too. We have some things to catch up on. I've promised our end-of-year guests that I'm only going to take 5 minutes of your time.
Okay.
So we're going to get into it. How did 2024 treat you?
It treated me pretty good. I can't complain. I can find stuff to complain about, but I won't complain.
We're artists. We can always find something to come up with to complain about.
For sure.
What is your biggest life lesson or takeaway from your album release this year?
It's so worthwhile to be proud of something that's your own, mm-hmm. and to listen to your own mind and to take criticism from other people, but also be mindful of where the criticism is coming from. Because if people don't have those same goals or the same mindset that you got, sometimes people can cast their insecurities or their problems or the way they feel about you onto the way they judge your art as well and the way they judge stuff that you do. So kind of from my record, I listened to my record and I was very satisfied with my record.
As you should be. Hell yeah.
It might not even get all the accolades, you know, that my last one got, but I swear that I can listen to this one pridefully. And so I think that's what I took from the album release. And also, just to enjoy, you know, it rekindled my love that wasn't fading, but rekindled the love for my blues.
Oh, I love this. What was the road like for you? What were some, do you have any memories you want to share from performing live after releasing this new album?
I tell you what, Todd Mahal, I let Todd Mahal listen to it.
Oh my gosh.
And he said, I knocked it out the park. So for me, he didn't say that about any of my other albums, even the one that he co-produced. You know what I'm saying?
So you've stepped it up.
Yeah, so I feel like I have. And I feel like, this year I took a lot of leaps in my personal life. You know, I keep my music life and my personal life in my songs. They kind of intertwine, you know, especially some of the stuff I choose the same, but keep it pretty separate. But you know, in the beginning of the year when I saw you, I had just lost my uncle, so you know that was probably about
I'm so sorry,
about 7-8 months ago now. And the family,
it was the spring when we did the interview in Fort Worth.
Yeah, so then my uncle done passed, and my grandmama and granddaddy kind of, you know, they older, you know, they in their mid, late 80s. So things are interesting right now. But, through music and through other things, I've learned to, you know, make a song out of it, go visit my family, mm-hmm. and, you know, get the best out of it that I can.
That's what I'm doing right now. I'm about to, as soon as we hang up, I'm going to go over and squeeze my baby nephew. I've had a nephew since we hung out.
Well, congratulations. I'm glad to hear that.
Thank you.
Man, I just started spending time with my, I got a lot of brothers and sisters, but I grew up in the house by myself. Mm-hmm. And it's a long story about that too. But once I finally got acquainted with them again, and I probably had went over to my brother's house probably about a little over a year. I got a road story. I took my brother on a trip with me. Two of my brothers. I took my youngest brother on a trip with me. That was kind of a little different because we 10 years different in age. He, younger than me. I got a brother that's a year younger than me. And we so similar. He hadn't flew out that far before. So we flew to Seattle.
Oh, cool.
And, and man, we had a good time without breaking the law. You know what I'm saying? So,
I love to hear it.
So, and that was it. And when I came back, it helped kind of build our relationship. And I started going over there. He got four kids.
Aww.
And one baby that he got him kind of step. He got a 6-year-old or kind of step, 4-year-old and then a 3-year-old. And so they called me Uncle John. Aww. You know, and man, you ought to know how it made my heart feel so happy. Like, they be like, Uncle John, Uncle John. And then when he said, Uncle John, I can't see you on FaceTime.
They're
like, it was so funny. Yeah, man. So that's been a good thing. And that trip kind of helped me do that. So that's...
That's the good stuff in life. I have one more question for you, and then you're welcome to share anything else you want to reflect on from 2024. What is one thing that was big in 2024 that you want to leave behind firmly? Close the door on that. It's canceled. It's over.
putting more energy behind people than they put in them own self.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Like, because I feel like sometimes you can get around people that are, I'm not going to say they, you enable them, but you kind of do enable them, but they, you know, they just so used to you helping and they so used to you doing stuff, or they just don't have that same get up and go for themselves. And I'm leaving behind, you know, putting my energy into it and then trying to, you know, and really just worrying about myself. Because the same energy I'm putting in there, I can be trying to help myself with a whole bunch of stuff I need to be doing. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, you have to, like, pour water into your own cup first.
That's it. That's it. That's it.
Okay, this has been a very wise and fun mini interview. Do you have any other complaints, predictions, whimsical stories, anything you want to share before we close the book on 2024?
I think being on the road, talking to people, and I've always said this, we have a lot in common as a nation. Mm-hmm. I don't think we realize that we all want the same thing. A lot of us
yeah.
want the same thing.
Yeah.
More than it may even seem like. But I think in these next cycle of our lives, the next year of our lives, the next years of our lives, we will see, and I feel we will find out that we are a lot more in common than we have a lot more in common than we think we do. You know, so that's all. That's pretty much it. And they're just sitting down and talking to people. And you know, I spent a lot of time in Maine and Massachusetts and New York City and on way back down too, and had a lot of time this last tour. You can hear me, my nose stopped up too. So that because I've been driving 3,100 miles in 12 days.
Oh my God.
I know.
That's
right?
A lot of miles.
That's so many, man. That poke get an oil change in less than 2 weeks. You know what I'm saying? I drove, but it was a rental car and I drove my car for only like 2 days. But anyway, yeah, that's my only prediction, man. And I hope that we can all be happy and smile and be loving, because I think we are in a generation of people that can be loving. Yeah. And it can do that. Like, we can be the ones to do that, but we have to really get to know one another and embrace each other. That's all.
I second that emotion. I appreciate you. I knew I came to the right person for these end of year thoughts.
Well, I appreciate you. How you been?
I'm doing great. I've been on the road all year, and I'm hanging out with my family.
That's cool. That's cool. How was your tour?
So good. I mean, wild ride. Some of it is not easy. I don't do well with, like, sure. being in crowds, talking to strangers every single night, but I'm getting better at it, I think. And the shows have been really, really fun.
That's cool. So did you find a sweet spot with your set times? You know, like...
Yes. Okay. Well, we did some headline shows, but I feel like I finished the year doing all these support tours. And it made me like...
Damn it, you're spoiled. Them bitches get you spoiled.
I know. It's so easy. You show up, you play 45 minutes, and then you like just chill. Like, that is so fun. And I'm also ready to like do a headlining tour again so I can really stretch out with my band. Like, okay. Do That's that cool. 90 minute in yeah. and out of the catalog through time. All of that stuff.
Yeah, that's the good yeah. stuff, man. Yeah. Yeah, that's good. I'm glad you like... How many shows you think you did this year?
Who knows? A couple hundred maybe?
Oh, wait, so you were gone.
I should tally it up. I for our listeners, I will tally it up and I'll fill you in the show notes.
All right, cool. Good.
Thank you so much for joining us for this. I'm going to let you go.
Man, no problem. Thank you. You have a good
you
one.
You too. Have a great rest of your day. Keep Your Worries on the Dance Floor by Jontavious Willis. Hi, Jontavious.
I consider you a Basic Folk all-star because your episode is one of the most fun times I've ever had doing the podcast or really like being on stage. John Tavius is such a character. His new album, West Georgia Blues, is so good. And I feel like he's just like a beacon of light and integrity and creativity in the roots music world. It's interesting to have talked to him earlier this spring and then like recap the end of the year because we both released albums this year. And one of my big questions for him was like, okay, how does it feel after all the promo, all the shows, all the anticipation? And his answer kind of surprised me. His answer was about how other people, critics, gatekeepers, like maybe didn't give this new album as much, as many props as they gave his previous album, Spectacular Class, but he was just as proud of it. And how, like, you have to find a way to be proud of your work in a way that makes sense to you. Nothing has ever resonated with me more because I feel like I have been so lucky in the opportunities that I've had this year and in the reception that my album has had. But there's still so many hurdles to jump over as an independent artist. And we're in a really culturally weird time. Like you mentioned before, Cindy, like it's been a politically tumultuous year. There is a lot of currency in outrage. It seems like people's attention comes and goes really quickly. And something that I've been working on this year is slowing down, taking time to notice what is a real connection? Like, when do I feel really connected to the audience? Is it when I'm reading reviews or like looking at my Spotify numbers? Like, no. It's in the room at a show when someone says like that song meant something to me. So going into 2025, I'm kind of trying to keep John Tavius's like spirit with me as I continue to build new worlds in my creative life.
I love that. Like using the gift that you've been given to connect with others.
Yeah. And like someone else isn't going to be able to look at your career and know whether it's going well. You know what I'm saying? You have to define success for yourself. And I know we've all been like hearing this since middle school, like be yourself, define it for yourself. But that has never felt truer than at the end of this year, 2024, when so many things that I think a lot of us assumed turned out to not be reliable.
Right. Well, let's kick it on into my favorite episode of the year. This was a really special episode of Basic Folk in general. It was the episode that we highlighted Lizzie Know and the new album Half Seas. We recorded it at Studio 9 in North Adams, Massachusetts. It was a cold and snowy day. I don't know if I'll ever forget it. It's such a beautiful studio, and it was such a comfortable space to be able to sit with you and dig in. And you also shared a couple of songs acoustic in the studio, which was really fun. I always think, Lizzie, that you are the wordsmith of the two of us, and I'm just the DJ that hits the button on the CD player.
It's a lie, but you are a very good DJ.
I don't want to wax too hard poetic about it. I would love to share a clip of that episode. And again, all these episodes are available wherever you get podcasts. You can go back and listen to these. This one was a particularly special one for the both of us. And then we'll actually get to check out the title track from Half Seas. So let's do it. A little preview. This was also the 250th episode of Basic Folk, another super special thing.
What a cool anniversary milestone.
We call that a milestone. We're going to be hitting 300 in early 2025, Lizzie, so get your ideas ready for that one.
It's going to be a blockbuster episode.
Yeah, maybe we should interview Woody Guthrie and Lead Belly from the grave.
I'm in.
Okay, excellent. Hey, it's Cindy and Lizzie. We're down to the wire on our fundraiser, and we're just 6 donors away from our goal.
Thanks to listeners like Brandy from Minnesota and Kim from Ohio, we're so close. Now we need your help to push us over the finish line.
When you support Basic Folk, you're helping us create honest conversations with folk musicians, sharing their stories, struggles, and inspirations, which in turn allows us to feel less alone and seen and supported in the world.
Hell yeah.
This is the only space like it, and we can't do it without you.
Plus, when you become a monthly donor, you get first dibs on our brand new Basic Folk beanie, launching in January with our fresh new logo and handmade by Cindy's mom. How sweet is that?
So sweet. Head to basicfolk.com/donate to make a monthly gift today. Just $5 a month helps keep this show alive and thriving.
That's basicfolk.com/donate or click the link in the show notes. Thank you for supporting the music and stories you love.
Bye.
Bye.
All right. Without further ado, let's get to Lizzie Noh talking about her record Half Seas on Basic Folk.
So let's talk about the origin of Miss Freedom Lands. Miss Freedom Land came from the quote unquote Disney of the East, the defunct 1960s Americana amusement park Freedom Land that was in the Bronx. Your mom got the honor of a lifetime, really. She won the Miss Freedom Land beauty pageant at 5 years old. You grew up with this story. So what has been the evolution of your relationship to your mom being Miss Freedom Land at 5 years old?
Okay, I relate to her more and more and more because she has told this story for years, that she was a child, you know, beauty queen. The photos, the official photos of the event are so wild. And in that No Depression piece, I think they published one of the pictures. She's in this very stiff crinoline dress. So cute. Mm-hmm. I mean, a little dumpling, but like just crying. Because a five-year-old does not want to be in a stiff dress, like standing on a stage being judged for their beauty.
Right.
Horrifying. And it's obviously like the work of adults to like put kids in this situation. And who can't relate to that feeling of being like, you're being put up on a pedestal, but you're also absolutely miserable. And you're like supposed to smile, but it's sort of the defiance of daring to cry and not smile when people want you to smile. I feel like that's like the Spitfire little girl spirit that
I'm
trying
to
keep.
I also feel like that's like the origin of like, they called me a tomboy.
I know. You can't be an acceptable girl and also be a fully alive human being, because the demands of girlhood and womanhood are impossible for anyone to meet. Mm. Unless you're like, I can't even get into it, but part of Lizzie Noh is saying no to all of the daily emotional performing that you have to do as a woman, and instead choosing to be a person with their own goals.
Yeah. What do you think would happen if women and possibly children stopped performing personality?
A few things. And I feel like I know specifically because it happens in small ways all the time. Most cis men would respond with a violence and a fear that would surprise even them. When you don't perform the emotional script that has been provided to you as a woman, men are really rattled by it, and especially liberal men are really rattled by it. Just take, for example, like if you're on a date and a man makes a joke that you don't find funny and you don't laugh and you just sit with a neutral expression, like every woman listening to this can picture the skin prickling tension that happens when you do that. And so I think I have, and a lot of, you know, women who want freedom have experimented in just being a person and trying to cut down on the ways in which we perform for patriarchy. And it feels really good, and it's really energizing because it's so exhausting to do these performances, to smile, to step out of the way on the sidewalk. A friend of mine did a sociological experiment in our 20s where she didn't get out of people's way if they were coming right towards her on the sidewalk. And a lot of people would just walk straight into her because people are so accustomed to women stepping out of the way. Oh. Like when I'm at a concert and people need to get through a crowd, they almost always bump into me. And I notice this if I'm like standing next to a man,
The man doesn't get bumped into. I get bumped into. Because people just subconsciously expect women to get out of the way. Mm. Okay, so these are like the small little day-to-day examples. But there are bigger examples. Like, I have found that some of my working relationships, romantic relationships, friendship relationships, all different kinds of relationships have been deeply affected by my choice to come alive as a gender-free human being. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of men just get used to being catered to in these small and big ways. And even if intellectually they believe in gender freedom and equality, they're, in a practical sense, completely unprepared to deal with women as equals and to contend with our humanity without the filter of feminine performance.
Hmm. Wow. One more comment about the picture of Miss Freedomland, of Catherine Quinlan, mm-hmm. as 5-year-old Miss Freedomland. It really reminds me of that picture that we've shared on the Basic Folk Instagram of young Lizzie at your aunt's wedding.
Mm-hmm. Crying
at the wedding. Yeah. That's all.
You know, it's an important motif. There's a reason that the worst men on the street will tell you to smile. It's like very soothing for men when you smile through the pain, and when you just don't and you let your face do what it does. Mm. Whoo boy.
Yeah, people think it's like, especially with children, like mm-hmm. people think it's hilarious because
yes.
So at the time on our social media, when we've shared that picture of Lizzie getting yelled at by her aunts at her wedding, we've also juxtapositioned mm-hmm. a picture of me as like probably around the same age, like I think like 7 years old. Mm-hmm. And I had just like gotten last place in the 4-H show. And
I'm
it
so
was like
sorry,
raining
Cindy.
And my face was just, you know, my dad is handing me the ribbon. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, my parents think this picture is hilarious. And it like is now in mm-hmm. retrospect, but at the time I was really upset.
Well, yeah, I think you learn as a little girl, if you're socialized as a girl, you learn at a young age that a lot of people, particularly adults, are paying attention to what you look like and to the expressions that you're making with your face. I've always been extremely aware of that. And I think it's doubled and tripled when you're a woman of color. People are really noticing how you react to things. Like, you know that whole trend of reaction GIFs where, like, on the internet, if something happens, someone will put, you know, tweet a GIF in response of someone, like, clapping or laughing or frowning or whatever the emotion is. I mean, Black women are way overrepresented in those GIFs because people look at Black women's faces as more emotional, more expressive, often more angry, more reactive. And so people are noticing how we react to situations and doing with that what they want. You know,
wow.
Often it's used against us. Often it's played for laughs.
Mm.
Rarely is there room for complexity.
Mm.
So yeah, those pictures actually, I think, speak volumes because who knows? Like in that picture of the wedding, I bet my aunt was just like talking to me, right? Like mm-hmm. Truly who knows what's happening, but the expressions on women's faces are something that we take a lot of stock in.
Mm.
And they tell an emotional story.
Spaceman wave from an asteroid. Paul Simon wave from Queen. I'm watching the headlines scroll. Half full, half empty. I keep mourning friends I never had. Pain without a reference. Snake skin in the grass. lashes at a stranger. When you came to find me,
All right, Half Seas, that is the title track from Lizzie Knowe's latest album. And we also heard a clip from that magnificent interview that Lizzie did with me earlier this year for our 250th episode.
But Cindy, can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
It occurs to me that you have been doing this podcast for a minute now. Like, yes, I've been part of it for a bit, but like, wow, our 250th episode was at the beginning of this year. You've done a million interviews as the host and founder of Basic Folk. What's one thing 2024 Cindy wants to tell 2018 Cindy, who's like just starting?
You don't need to do that much research.
Cool. Good to know. Yeah.
You can find 4 or 5 really good articles and interviews. And then read the press release.
Yeah, I consistently get the feedback in my interviews like, wow, you really did dig in deep. And sometimes that's a good thing. But sometimes it's like, I didn't really need to like scrape this person's social media from like the beginning of their career and like find out about their hobbies. And like, it's cool to maybe just like listen to the music and read some press.
Totally. Yeah. And it's like, you don't have to talk about every little thing, you know. I feel like a great responsibility when somebody comes on, and if it's somebody you know, like Emmylou Harris or something, I feel like I'm gonna throw up because there's just so much to go over and so much to cover. So I just try to think about what are some unique perspectives that I can bring to these questions.
Right.
Lizzie and I will be on the Keamo cruise with Emmylou Harris, and we are pitching an interview solely about dogs.
Prayers up, you guys.
Yeah, we'll see. This brings us to the part of our 2024 recap where Lizzie shares her favorite episode. Speaking of Keamo.
Speaking of being at sea, under the sea. That's not where we were. We were on top of the sea. Okay, interviewing Layla McCalla and her band was a career milestone for me. Full stop. It was so cool to be in person with that incredible collective of artists. By the time we spoke to them, they'd been playing together for years, and they just had this collaborative, very organic vibe amongst them. And I believe it was our first time interviewing a whole band about an album, which was something I was really excited to do.
They were all so involved.
They were all so involved, and they all contributed to the arrangements, and they also all contributed to this like familial vibe that they had in the studio, which you really hear on the record. Like, it's an experimental record that I don't think could have been made without this ironclad trust between them. And the record is like so surprising and so deep and so fun that like, I was like, how are we going to get to all of these musical elements and talk about like, what is it like for you, Layla, to be like traveling in the Caribbean on this cruise? Like, there were a million things we wanted to talk about. And so I'm so glad we got the whole band to come out. We sat in this like cruise ship lounge and just like dug in. It was incredible. And the way that Layla talks about the folk process is one of the biggest takeaways that I think I've ever heard on Basic Folk. Go into the episode and listen to it. But we often talk about like, what does folk music mean? And I love hearing what different artists have to say, like, oh, these are some of the artistic and aesthetic elements. Like, these are some of the economic elements of folk music. Here's some of the history of folk music. But Layla McCalla describes folk as a process, which I think is pretty revelatory. So it's a great interview, and we had a lot of fun talking to these guys.
There are so many really sweet sing-songy lines in this song that felt particularly poignant to me as a Black woman listener on a cruise ship. The repetition of the word easy is very choiceful, it seems like. Ease is not a word that a lot of us are that well acquainted with in our lives, in our relationships, in our work. So as, and like you've done a lot of research leading into this album on feminist thinkers. So like, where is ease coming into your feminism right now? And how is it changing the way that you think about love and political change or whatever? Like, where is it showing up for you?
That's a great question, because it's not something that I feel actually shows up that much. but I, you know, I'm like a big Adrienne Marie Brown fan.
Mm-hmm.
And I read Pleasure Activism years ago and was just like, oh my God, this is so comforting. I am very, you know, and it really opened me to be more in touch with the idea that you can't be a good activist unless you know what makes you feel good, unless you know what, you know, it ignites your pleasure in this world.
Janet Jackson taught us that.
Yes. Yeah. There have been examples, you know, for sure. But in my life, you know, as someone who's been like, kind of, you know, I've always been very motivated in my music by different social causes and, you know, different, you know, questions that our society is grappling with. And so I feel like my music has always been like, you know, kind of touted as activist. And I always kind of felt like, I don't know that I'm activist enough, you know, which is also another classic, you know, experience of Black women. Like when we do get, you know, kind of given our flowers, we're like, well, I don't know if I did enough.
Should I hand out a few of the flowers?
Yeah, right. Should
to
I share it with the community so that I feel less bad?
Should I dry the flowers and make them useful in
yeah,
some way?
Exactly. And so when I read, so the next Adrienne Marie Brown book that I read was, Emergent Strategy.
Yes.
Yeah. And that was right before making this record. By the way, So I'll Go is a song that I wrote, started writing 20 years ago. And this, album really gave me the opportunity to finish that song. So it's particularly satisfying, but,
congratulations.
Thank you. But, you know, Emergent Strategy, one of the biggest questions that I took away from that book was, do you see yourself as a part of nature?
Mm.
And so I had always thought that the rambling verses about the flowers and the trees and the grass and the rain and the hands and the soil and the lips, I thought that that was really cheesy stuff 20 years ago. And now, like, revisiting it, I was like, oh, these are the easeful, you know, interactions in nature. That's what love is, you know, that's what love is. That's what it is at its best, you know? And so, you know, obviously the song's about a relationship that isn't working out, but it's also, if you do see yourself as a part of nature, then it's much easier to integrate these changes. And I think that I've just been in a time in my life where I am integrating a lot of change and transformation and transition and trying to decide what I want to transition into. And so I feel like spending time in nature, being with nature, and, you know, studying the simplicity of nature is something that, you know, it's just been a really poignant part of my songwriting.
Too easy. So I'll go.
Rose, thank you for dropping by Basic Folk today.
I love dropping by. I love it.
Ugh, Rose, you are just, you are like, remember MySpace? You'd have like top eight, you know?
Yeah.
You are definitely top eight.
I appreciate that. I mean, top 10 would be nice. Top 20, I'd be just like in your top at all. I'd be so honored.
We've known each other for a really long time, so it's really nice to just chit chat with you and catch up.
Amen. Yes.
So first of all, it's 2024. We are wrapping things up. We are trying to bookend the year. How are you? How was your 2024?
I think it was okay. It's interesting. I think that life is just exists with its turbulences. Like some are kind of going in the background all the time. And then you have like spikes.
What does that mean? Some are going in the background all the time.
I mean, I think that maybe like just being alive is a turbulent thing. So maybe the stuff in the background is like one contending with oneself, you know, as we kind of go through the flow of, you know, various anxieties or various accountabilities or, I don't know, just like the general facing of oneself, I think is maybe like a din of disruption and turbulences. And then there's kind of like greater ones, whether it's, you know, helping other people in our life through things or people leaving the world, people coming into the world, you know, for us, creating things and putting them out into the world. Which this year has been significant for me, for sure, because I've started to release new music, as you know. And that's a kind of coming out of... and every time I do it, it feels new. like the way that the industry works is kind of new each time. So that's both, you know, in the background and also a new disruption of kind of readjusting, adjusting to, you know, not having done it for 4 years and then entering back in and you know, seeing where I fit with even just with me by myself in my work brain. Like, what does that look like? What does it feel like? And then what did it used to look like? And what do I want it to look like? So that's kind of... Just like, did you get that? Gosh. Did you want to write that down?
Yes, I will put it into the transcriber later and revisit. I was thinking about this as we got on the call together, that your last album came out like right as the pandemic hit in 2020. Mm-hmm. Bravado came out in 2020. Excellent release.
Thank you.
This is also the first album that you have... had a little dog in your life. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's impacted your working situation.
I definitely think it's impacted. It's impacted my soul, which I think is impacting everything, you know, including my working situation. Yeah. My new record's called Conditions of Love, Volume 1. And I definitely, he's definitely, my dog Harrington is an important part of my life now. And it's certainly something that helps with my loneliness and my accountability and, you know, that part of us that wants to nurture and care for something else outside of ourselves. Mm. He's also a really great, like, social bridge. And, I think he's had a huge influence in my life. The fact that that the pandemic happened and I was able to have time to get a dog, which is something I've always wanted to do, which is it's been nice to fulfill, that dream. And I feature him a lot. He helps, like, I'm like, okay, I have to do a social media post. I'm like, well, I'm pulling Harrington into it so that I don't feel like I'm by myself.
He can't say no.
He can't say no. I'm kind of the boss. I mean, I'm the boss sometimes, and then he's the boss sometimes. So.
All right, so you mentioned Conditions of Love, Volume 1. So that new album is going to be out March 14th. We will have another very fun Basic Folk discussion about that record that I'm very excited about. In the meantime, though, I was thinking about, like, oversharing, being over-emotional. In your press release, you wrote, "Love feels great and it makes us ridiculous. It's tiring and intense, joyful and devastating." And reading that and thinking about that also brings to mind our friend Jenny Owen Youngs has that great song, "Fuck Was I," where she sings at the end of the song that love is so embarrassing.
It is. Ugh.
So, all right, to be honest, like, I had a little hangover this morning, and it wasn't all substance related. Mm-hmm. Yes, I had some drinks last night, but also, like, to overshare, I've been changing my anxiety medication, and that has been, like, causing, like, all sorts of, like, peaks and valleys that, you know, that, like, I'm out in public and all of a sudden I start crying. Like, I did a 5K over the weekend and I finished like basically last and was just like sobbing in the car about it. And my wife was like, "Do you think it's your medication?" And I was like,
"Good point."
Indeed, yes. So I've just been thinking about like being over emotional, oversharing, being just like over emoting all over people. Do you ever get emotional hangovers? And also, here's the second part of this question. With the pre-release of this album, all the promo stuff that you have to do, do you feel like any after effects of sharing so much of yourself in your music videos and your press releases and all the promo work that you're doing?
That's a very thick question.
I'm here for thickness.
You know what's great is that, like, we could talk about this forever, and I'm so thankful that it's like it's not a really a solvable problem. And also, just listening to you say over so many times, I'm thinking to myself, who's deciding that something is over or too much? And that isn't that something that we just decide on our own? We're just like, oh, I can't contain my emotions, and except it's just you're emotional. Okay, you know, you're a human woman. Does that put us at a disadvantage in emotions? No, we're just like, actually, we're probably pretty lucky that we actually get to express them. I think it's healthier. So, and whether it has to do with anxiety meds or hormonally or something that's really significant happening in your life, like, who decides that something is over You know, we just all have different tolerances on emotion based on what we learned about emotion as we were becoming human beings in the world. So that's a topic that we could talk about forever. And like, let's just vow to always do that.
Agreed.
Is it, you know, and I think that the over probably is attached to the level of vulnerability that we're interacting in the world. So whether it's you running a 5K and changing your anxiety meds, or me releasing music in the world that I haven't done, and the world is a bit different and the music is a bit different and where we are in our lives is different, it's vulnerable. So I think I find more and more now that I'm kind of like in this later part of my career and I've been on stage so many times and I've talked about things and I've kind of established myself as a person who talks about emotions, I think it's vulnerable to put out things that are new. And it's also a part of a conversation that needs to be happening. And so I kind of feel like I put out a song that hopefully says something true and someone's like, ugh, exactly that. But I wouldn't, you know, but they wouldn't necessarily say it. And it's kind of my job in the world to say the vulnerable things out loud that are harder for people who don't live in this artistic world to say, even though we all feel it. So, you know, I don't know whether my music is oversharing. I don't think it is. I think it's just actually, you know, if we can't be in the conversation of what it's like to be a living human person experiencing true emotions in the world, then I don't know, like, what's the point of anything if we can't talk about what it's like to be human?
Right.
Ugh. That's a long answer.
Yeah, but I'm going to hold on to it because in the political climate that we're in, where we're being told to fuck our feelings, you know, I think, Rose, I think you're right. I think you're right.
I mean, the emotions are there. It's like we can pretend that they're not there, but we're lying, and everything that we avoid is only louder in the background. Like, it's just, if you're avoiding it, it's never going to go away. So, we do have a choice of how vulnerable we are. Sometimes it doesn't feel like we do, and it takes a really long time to like move a bunch of pre-built things out of the way. You know, the pre-existing conditions of our upbringing.
The pre-existing conditions of love.
The pre-existing conditions of love. Yeah, I think I hope that I do feel like I kind of take many different angles on the record. And I mean, it's just me trying to friggin' figure out what my pre-existing conditions are and like what informs my conversation about love. It like keeps me curious because it's like, well, you know, what does it mean? What do I want? And like, I don't even think that people who are, you know, happily married necessarily know the answers to those questions. I think that, you know, life is a series of decisions that we make and everything is in motion all the time. So to think that you settled in a place, there's probably only a few places and decisions that you make where you're actually like, I know that this is a certain thing for me and that it will not move. I think we just have to be really gentle with ourselves because we will change our minds, you know?
And to wrap things up for us today, Rose, what is your life lesson for the year 2024?
I think my lesson from this year, but maybe the entirety of the last 4 years, and I hope one that I will keep taking with me, is to remain curious. I think that's what it is. I think it's to look at things to ask questions as opposed to, I mean, I think it's like remain curious, look at a thing that's really hard with a research brain and say, what is it about this that feels hard? You know, when things are really good, we don't think about why they're really good. But when things are hard, we're kind of like, what is it? Because we tend to be really hard on ourselves first. So I think curiosity, where we come up against resistance is, This is the thing that I'm working on.
I like that. It's like pretty all-encompassing, I think. Yeah. Okay, Conditions of Love Volume 1 out on March 14th in 2025. Rose, we will speak again of the songs on the album that is coming out on March 14th. But thank you for dropping by. It means a lot.
Thank you for having me. Have a good rest of 2024.
I Believe in Love and It's Very Hard by Rose Cousins. I, Lizzie Noh, would like to share a heartfelt word with you, Basic Folk listener. We are at a time of year where your body wants to be doing less. We've just survived a chaos clown show of violence in the election. Our culture is shifting rapidly. It's okay if the things that used to work for you don't work anymore. You're allowed to start over. You're allowed to try new things. You're allowed to tell people in your life, I've changed. You're allowed to listen to new artists. You're allowed to change how you dress. You can do it all. It's a new year and you have freedom. And that's my blessing to you.
Ugh. Perfect. I have nothing to add.
I love you, Cindy.
I love you, Lizzie. We'll see you next year in 2025. Bye.
Bye.
This episode of Basic Folk was produced by CJ Nungesser. Alex Stanton composes our music. Basic Folk is on the Bluegrass Situation Podcast Network. You can find all of our episodes there. You can find us at basicfolk.com. Search for Basic Folk on the SiriusXM app. Go to folkalley.com or look at Folk Alley's mobile app. Or you can find us wherever you listen. We'll see you next year. And bye-bye.